Gosh, it was nice hearing from Ian Punnett. It's been a long time. Long time. I'm glad he's doing well, and he just loves doing what he's doing, to be sure. And since it came up, I might as well just tell you, yeah, every once in a while I do send him a little email, and I say, hey, do you want to do a show? You ready? He just physically can't. And, you know, I'll, God willing, if there's some kind of a cure for the tinnitus, see what happens in the future. But I'm glad things are going well for him. Hey, we're going to have open lines for you now for the next couple hours. But if there's anybody in Iowa around Muscatine County, and you have seen or you have heard the stories of these people walking around in black trench coats at night, would you check in with us and tell us a little bit more about what is going on? Plus, the open lines wide open for you. So let's make the calls, and I'll get you next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines. By the way, we're going to have Open Lines for you again on Friday night for the next couple hours, the last couple hours. But Friday, the Open Lines are a little different than the Open Lines that we have during the week, aren't they? They really are. And by the way, I didn't have a lot of time to talk about the event in St. Louis that we had on Saturday, and it just went so well. The theater was packed at Lindenwood University, and it was great seeing a lot of old friends, a lot of family members out there. And our guests, our Gary Patterson and Stanton Friedman, were just superb. And then we had local guests, a fellow by the name of Mark Farley, who conducts ghost tours in St. Louis. And then longtime 44-year DJ. He's not 44 years old. He's been a DJ for 44 years. Mark Close was with us to talk about the 27 Club. Ironically, the young actor from Star Trek who played Chekhov died in that tragic accident a couple days ago when his Jeep Cherokee rolled down on him. He was 27 years old. I mean, it's really strange. So let's go to the open line calls, and let's start it off with Michael in California to get things going. Hey, Michael, good to hear from you.
George, it's great to talk to you tonight. You know, I just have a little thing. I want to just start the night out in a great venue. My birthday is February 22nd.
That's my dad's birthday.
My mother's birthday is June 4th. I'm half Lebanese.
Oh, that's amazing.
Okay, George, so there we go. Let's start your night out great. And, you know, it is, when I heard these things, I laughed so hard. I was like, oh, my God, and I'm a twin, too. So, oh, my goodness gracious. And thanks so much for taking my call, and I hope you all have such a great evening tonight. And is that synchronicity or not?
I love it. And as you know, my dad was a twin. Born on Feb 22nd, 1923. He's not with us anymore. He had a great run. And my birthday's June 4th. So we've got a lot of synchronicity there. It's amazing how those things truly happen. And by the way, we do take your text questions, too. If you can't get through on the phone, we do a couple text questions per hour. And so that helps people get through a lot. We are going to very soon get to your tweet on Twitter questions as well. So that's going to give you another opportunity to get to us. Let's go to St. Louis, where I am holed up right now. Ryan's with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Ryan. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, George. I've got a comment about the Democratic Party and
sure,
the dislike for weapons. Well, my comment is, if they think back to when this country was founded back in the Revolution, if the local militias didn't have weapons, we would all be under the Queen's rule.
You got that right.
And as far as these assault weapons, well, you can make any weapon a assault weapon. All you have to do is pull it out, knife, whatever, and use it on somebody. That's an assault weapon.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. And that tragedy in Orlando, you know, I don't understand why they didn't have some guards at the door to see some guy come in with all that kind of weaponry.
Well, that's a situation where it's 20/20 hindsight.
Yeah, it sure is.
I know there are clubs that used to be in St. Louis and East St. Louis that you could walk in and the bouncer's standing there, and he's about 6'5", 6'6", and you could see the pistol underneath his jacket or
yeah
in his pants. And these news broadcasters here, they refer to an AK-47 or M14 as a long rifle. No, a long rifle is the type of stuff that they use back in the colonial days where it was about 5-6 feet long.
Yeah, muskets.
Yeah.
You got it. Brian, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We've got a text message with you, Tom. What do you have for us?
We do, from James in Rhode Island. Hey, George, I'm buying my own restaurant, and I know you've owned one before.
Ah!
Any tips for me?
Yeah. Don't. You want to make $1 million, Tommy, in the restaurant business?
Sure.
Start with three. Look, restaurants are fun. You got to devote your time there. I had a business that I was running that was doing very well, and I had a restaurant that I wanted to do. I got it really cheap. Cost me 10 times what I paid for it to fix it up and run it and keep it going for a year, and it was just abominable. You have to be a great restaurateur. It is. I've always told people now, it's cheaper. If you want to spend, let's say you want to do a restaurant for $100,000, right? It's cheaper to use that money and go to restaurants and eat for the rest of your life than to do a restaurant.
What do you think went wrong?
In my case, I mean, I wasn't watching the store, and I wasn't there enough. I was running my other business, and it just didn't work. It collapsed. It lasted a year. And let me tell you what happened. It was on in St. Louis. It was on Brentwood Avenue. And it was right before they built the St. Louis Galleria, which is this huge mall. And our valet section where people could pull in this building, because the only way you could park was way behind the building. And I even had a little shuttle cart to pick up people who parked in the back.
That's smart.
Just to drive them up to the restaurant. But I lost the valet because they needed to widen the street for the mall. And so they shut that off. You could barely get into the restaurant. So that was going on for almost the entire year that it stayed open, and it was just a mess. And you know, I tried to ask the building for a little help, and there was nothing anybody could do. So wrong timing, of course. It was a nice concept, but
what was it called?
The Cafe Marrakesh.
It
was nice. People were dressed up like the Banana Republic, the employees.
Uh-huh.
It was fun. It was decorated nice, and it just didn't work.
Did you ever cook anything there?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, and cooking's kind of a hobby for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which, you know, and I think I'm pretty good at cooking. Do you cook much?
A little bit. I do cook a little bit. I wouldn't say enough to like go, yeah, I make this dish great.
Your anything, favorite but cooking is probably boiling an egg.
No, actually, boiled chicken and broccoli is what I like. Simple, right?
But you cook.
You still have to cook it. I do cook it.
Do you know a guy named Jesse from Breaking Bad? He cooks too.
Probably the wrong stuff, George.
That's right. Exactly. What a great series that was.
So, one of the best.
I could talk about that for an hour.
Because you've seen it through about three times.
I think Bryan Cranston is an amazing actor.
He's got a new movie coming out.
And also, did you see him in the TV LBJ movie?
Yes.
He's a great actor.
He is.
His daughter goes to the Great Greek in L.A. where we go to. And the next time she's there, I've told them to get to her so we could get Bryan on the show.
You never told me that.
Well.
His daughter. That's awesome.
Yeah. We got. I'd love to get Bryan on the show.
Oh, that would be fun.
All right. Catch you later with your next text.
Thanks.
Next up, we got Mark out there in Texas on the Panhandle, east of the Rockies. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show.
Good evening, George. It is an honor and a privilege to speak with you. I have been with you for a long time, but first time I've ever called in.
Well, thank you. What got you to finally call in?
Well, the last guest that was talking with Ian was referring to the Oklahoma City tragedy, the bombing in Oklahoma City. Well, I lived in Moore, Oklahoma when that occurred.
Oh, boy.
And I was in the hotel business. And during the week of that tragedy, there is an annual Oklahoma Restaurant Association trade show downtown at the Myriad Convention Center. I had tickets to a seminar for that morning, April 19th, and I had scheduled myself off because I was going to go to the seminar. Well, I got up that morning, and it was such a beautiful morning. I went to the golf course. Something just told me, hey, let's go play golf. We can go to the trade show later. So I'm on the second hole at a golf course on the tee box when that bomb blew up.
Jeez.
And I could have been circling the block looking for a parking spot. I could have been right in the middle. I should
right.
have been
the right concussion in the could have gotten to you if you were
Absolutely.
Close enough.
Absolutely. I feel fortunate, blessed. I have a guardian angel. You know, it was such a horrific event that nobody saw coming.
Did you drive by the building afterwards?
Oh, no. You could see for miles that there was no way to get close to it.
They had everything cordoned off, didn't they?
Yes. Smoke. You know, we had no idea. We thought it was a gas explosion at first. You know, so we resumed playing golf, and when we got into the clubhouse, they said, oh, hey, this might have been something else. And then the rest is, of course, is history. But, yeah, I still have the two tickets for that date, and I have them framed on the wall, and that reminds me every day that I don't know what it reminds me of, actually, but
fate.
I'm lucky to be here. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm glad you're here to make the call. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, hey, thanks for doing what you do. I'm a truck driver. I'm out here all night, and I depend on you to let me know what's going on in the world and keep me apprised of all the situations. So thank you.
We will keep doing it. You're very welcome. By the way, 4th of July is on a Monday. You know the drill. We'll be live on Independence Day. And so let's hope you have a great weekend. But just tune in to us on Monday, July 4th, because we're going to be here. Maybe we'll have some fireworks, sound effects or something that night. Yeah, I think I'll do something different. We'll have some fun. But we're going to have a live show for you on July 4th. And I've got to tell you, folks, you talk about time. I don't know where it's going. I remember New Year's Eve 2015, as we were going into 2016, going, gosh, a brand new year, and, you know, it can't go as fast as 2015 went. This is the fastest year ever. I wonder if it has anything to do with age. As you creep along, if the years creep along faster with you, check in with me on that and give me your thoughts on that. I'm beginning to think that's why it seems like things go by so fast. Another thing that really makes it go by fast for me is all this traveling I do between St. Louis and L.A. and Denver for the Beyond Belief TV shows and these events. I'm going to be in Asheville, North Carolina in August. And that makes the months go by really fast. You know, maybe it's a little slower feeling if you're stationary in one city. You know, if I stayed in St. Louis all the time or something, but it really goes by fast. Let's go back to more calls. Let's go to Bartow in Fort Worth, Texas. Hello there, Bartow.
Hello. Glad to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
Speaking about time going away, we should have killed the guy that invented the clock, and we wouldn't have to worry about all this.
Well, not kill him, but maybe put him someplace.
Right. Well, I'm calling about a subject that you may have touched on with GMO foods or seed, but I'm calling about flea and tick spray. I had three cats that died from the stuff, and I didn't know it till a third cat.
Jeez.
It was killed by the pyrethrins, I think they call it, in the flea and tick spray.
Right, which is the bug killer.
Right, it's the pesticide.
Yep.
Not only does it kill cats and dogs, thousands of them, reported to the EPA this last year it doubled, but for every animal that's reported, there's probably 20 reported and they don't know what killed them.
My God, nobody thinks about it.
Yeah, and this pesticide also causes cancer in children. You spray your dog, it dries out, the kid hugs it for 4 or 5 weeks, he gets this poison inside him. It also causes breast cancer in women. It kills honeybees, and it kills butterflies. And It's all made, the pharmaceutical houses make the pesticides. They may make medicines that cure us, but they also make poisons. Back in, I think it was the Vietnam War, one of them was making Agent Orange.
Agent Orange, that was Monsanto.
Right, and somewhere we have to have some controls to use this stuff safely or to ban it from the market. California bans it now, but the other 49 states, I bought some in Walmart. You can go into the supermarket. You see the flea and tick collars and drops.
The collar, that's where I was going to just ask you. That stuff is on the collars too, isn't it?
Right, all of them. There are class action lawsuits, regular lawsuits. One guy won a small claims lawsuit here in Texas. But they just, I mean, it's a $1 billion business. When you add in the GMO seed, you're looking at maybe a $1 trillion business.
That's a show all by itself, Bardo, about that, those pesticides for the animals. That's a great program. I think we'll
right.
do that.
Why I'm calling is nobody says anything about it. There are no news stories about it. I want to get the word out. If I can't stop them, I might tell people they'll take a second look at it and not buy these things. That'll cut the revenue from the big companies down.
Have you done a lot of research into finding people who can speak about this?
I've done a little. I called one place in New York, and I don't have the initials now. They have class action lawsuits, and the guy just sent me an email and said, call in tomorrow. I told him I wanted to get the word out, and he said, we'll help you any way we can. And it not only has all of the flea sprays, but it has a breakdown of the chemicals and what they do.
Send me a little email, george@coasttocoastam.com, with just some info that you've been working on, and I'll have our producers start doing some homework.
Okay, I think it would be a great subject because
me too.
It's not just a few animals, but you know people love their animals. I don't know if you have them.
I've had them before, and I've bought animals for people I care about, and they are like family.
Right, and I mean, here you're trying to help them. You put this stuff on them to get rid of a few fleas, and you kill them, poison.
So here's the question, though. What's the alternative? There's some natural, like I understand that fleas hate cedar spray, for example.
Right, and they you can't give cats garlic, but I think you can give the garlic capsules to dogs, and that'll keep the flea sprays off. Baking soda, I understand, if you spread it in the carpeting, it dries the fleas up.
And the eggs. It takes care of the eggs, too.
Right, and you can vacuum, and that stuff doesn't cost $10 to $40. You know, it's stuff you can pick up at the supermarket
cheap.
For less than a dollar.
That's a good
but
point.
There's a lot of natural stuff that they could use making this, or even come up with a mixture of stuff that doesn't kill the animals. And, by the way, we need those honeybees, or we're going to stop eating. This planet will be a twin of Mars. You know, just a desert.
Well, you're right about that, too. But, all right, send me a little email if you can, Bardo, george@coasttocoastam.com. I think that would be a great program. So many people are great animal lovers, and you're right. You know what? Their animals develop cancers. People have no idea why, what's happening to them. Who knows? These pesticides could be the reason. We're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with more open lines. That was a fast half. And don't forget to like us on Facebook and do follow us on Twitter. We shall be right back. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Welcome back to Open Lines. Let's go to Howard, west of the Rockies, in Vancouver, on the Washington side. Howard, hello there.
Well, it was good to hear Eon again tonight.
It sure was. It was fun.
He sounds pretty good. I have a request for you tonight. I really enjoy it when you do your Edgar Allan Poe readings from time
okay.
to time.
Do you? Thank you.
Yeah. If you, one of these nights, if you really want to creep your audience out really bad, you should read The Monkey's Paw.
I've got that. I did that. It's on a recording.
Oh, do you? Oh, I guess I haven't heard that one yet.
Maybe that's the next one we'll do.
Okay. That's that one probably unsettled me more than any other story.
We will do that. What's new out there in Vancouver these days, Howard?
Oh, we're having pretty nice weather out here. It's about 80 degrees today. You know, it's I listen to the news about the 122-degree weather in Palm Springs.
Oh, my God. It's
I'm just kind of grateful to be here.
Things are burning away. They do. Okay, Howard, thanks for being on the program. Linda is in Melbourne, Florida, east of the Rockies. Good morning, Linda.
George, how are you?
Good. I hope you are, too.
I'm fine, thank you. George, I just wanted to ask you something and get your thoughts, I guess, on it. I guess you raised my awareness on different shows when you were talking about ISIS dressed in their white sneakers and the row of trucks in the desert and why we can't pinpoint these people. My daughter's in her 20s, and she goes on these different college websites, and she showed me one that was supposed to be hacked by Anonymous, but Anonymous hacked into the ISIS website or Facebook page.
To screw it up, that's right.
Well, what they did is they posted pictures. It wasn't pornographic or anything, but it was insulting pictures because they had, it was about the gay people. And I don't understand if ISIS can hack into this, and we don't know who Anonymous is. I'm sorry. If ISIS, Anonymous can hack into ISIS, why can't our government, with all this information they've collected, pinpoint ISIS? It's mind-boggling.
Well, they can, Linda. That's what's so disgusting about all of this. They have that capability of doing all this. They've got the capability of shutting down their banks. They've got the capability of shutting down their oil wells. They've got the capability of shutting the oil tankers that take the oil. They're not doing any of that. I have heard from a source of mine that there's a very rich kid in Turkey from a diplomat, a Turkish diplomat, who's part of the financing of the oil freighters to get them shipped all over the planet where ISIS makes money on it. We could stop all that, and we're not doing it.
Okay, well, thank you, George, because I told my daughter, I said, you know, this doesn't make sense, and I just wanted your opinion because I know you've brought this up before. And my daughter went to school at UCF, and she used to go to the Pulse nightclub. This is only about 2 years ago, three years ago. But I can tell you, she took a drive over there a few weeks ago, and she said that whole area around there has just changed drastically as far as the different people. And I'm not trying to insult anybody, but it has changed. So that might have something to do with why they didn't have any guards, because just a few years ago, they really didn't need anything like that.
They just thought everything was so safe, I bet.
Yes. I mean, like a lot of areas, it's just changing. But thank you very much, George, for answering that. And thanks for all you do. I really, you just, you know, you make my day every
all
night.
Right.
So
all
thank
right.
you so much.
Thanks, Linda. Yeah, that's the $64,000 question. Why can't we stop ISIS? And, you know, here's the other baffling part. ISIS in Syria is trying to get out Assad. Those are the people that we support, but it's still ISIS. But ISIS in Libya and Iraq and all over the rest of the region are the ones that we are apparently fighting. It's just strange. The whole thing is weird. But, you know, I know that if I were running the battle and if I were the president of the United States, and I really wanted to win, you cut off their heads first in terms of financial, and you get to that. And we're not touching any of that. And the big question is why? And that, I think, will lead you to a lot of answers. Jeff in Juneau, Alaska. Hey, Jeff, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How you doing? Can you hear me? I'm on a... Here, let me...
Yeah, we can.
Okay, great. Yeah, it's a great call to follow here. I just wanted to bring up something real quick to you. I noticed that recently you've brought up Sandy Hook and all of the Boston thing and all of that. Have you ever heard of someone that you can have on the show named Jim Fetzer?
Oh, yeah. Jim's been on before. He's the, I think he may be an ex-professor, but at least he used to be when I had him on. He's an expert, by the way, in the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, yeah. Well, you should have him back on to have him, the connection between all of these things. And he is one of these people that are going to tell you that no kids died at Sandy Hook. And he can prove it.
Well, I don't believe that.
Well, I know you don't, but I just thought I'd bring that up just so that you could hear his point of view. Just simply.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand. And everybody's entitled to their views.
What's that?
Everybody's entitled to their views.
Right, right. Well, yeah, but he backs it up with some proof, pretty distinct proof. Anyway, I wanted to also find out if you've ever heard of something called the Mandela Effect.
We are in the process of, God, you're a psychic. We're in the process of checking into that, unless you sent me the email, because I passed it on to Lisa to check into the possibility of doing a show with that. So we're working on that. That may be a show. Text messages, we get them. Let's go to Tommy back in the studio.
Hello, hello. Patricia in Washington, D.C. I'm starting to store things for emergency times, and I was wondering how much cash you think would be a good amount to keep in the house.
Well, I don't know. Will cash be good then? Who knows?
No. But everybody likes to keep cash.
I don't think I'm the one to ask how much cash you should keep in your house.
Do you keep cash in the house?
I'm not going to tell you.
Why? Nobody knows where you live.
How do you know? Do you keep cash in your house? Everybody knows
everybody
where you
does.
Live.
You can find out anywhere anybody lives.
No, so that's not something that, you know. The problem is you don't want to keep it in the bank because if there's a run on the bank or the bank has a holiday and a holiday means they close their doors, you're not going to get cash. If there's a power outage, you're not going to be able to get it out of an ATM. That's not going to work either. And, you know, part of the problem is who will use cash during those kinds of situations?
That's the thing I've always wondered. People go, well, I got to keep a little cash in the house, but what are you going to use it for?
You know, it's just...
It's that bad.
But I think it's, you know, she's got to use her own common sense for her own budget to decide how much she wants to put aside.
By the way, you are so right. I cannot believe it's June right now.
It's June. We're going into July.
I know.
Next Friday.
10 days.
Is it not? July 1st?
Yeah.
Next Friday. Absolutely staggering how fast it's going. And once you make that turn, once you get out of June, it like takes off even faster.
Unbelievable.
And then we get into our favorite months, right? Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's.
After you get past nothing the hot better. Summer.
Yeah, but there's in the springtimes are great. But, I mean, there's nothing neater than those seasons. And
I think you got to be right. I think the traveling makes it just
it make. I know by. It makes it go by faster for you and me.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. And, I mean, by the way, you did a great job in St. Louis as the executive producer of that event.
Well, you did a good job, too.
People were, I think I surprised you with my singing, didn't I?
No, you don't surprise me, but what you do, which throws not just me, but crews off, is you'll like when you grab the lady, for instance, in the audience.
Well, don't say I grabbed her.
Okay. When
asked
you
her to come
ask
up.
Her nicely to come grabbed up and her. Dance with her. But you know what I mean.
And so, that's the ghost lady.
Yeah, but exactly on the website. But if we're not ready for that and, you know, lighting's not just right and so forth, that's where you kind of throw us.
But the lighting is for me. So I danced with her in my light. So
until you, you know, there's certain areas of the stage maybe that aren't lit.
But being impromptu, that's what's fun.
It is fun. You're correct.
Wait till you see what I do in Asheville.
No.
I haven't told you.
No.
But you know what? What is emotional for me is when I ask the current and past members of the armed forces to stand up.
I love that.
And they play When Johnny Comes Marching Home Again, and they stand up and they get applauded and cheered. That just gets that whole audience going into the show.
Did you notice that I changed something this time when you did it? I put up a flag.
You put up an American flag behind me, which was a picture of it on the screen, which was huge. And that was something else.
Yeah.
I had a great time there.
Good stuff.
Okay. Next up, we go to Jack in Alberta, Canada. Hey, Jack, welcome to the program.
Good morning, George. How you doing?
Good. Good.
Good. Hey, first off, I wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed hearing Ian's voice on the radio.
Yeah, that was cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, I understand why he doesn't or can't come back, but boy, I will sure be looking forward to the day that that answer changes.
Well, and I'm glad he's happy doing what he can do. I mean, there's not a lot of people who, you know, leave a show like this and get something that they truly enjoy, and he seems to have found that.
He really seems to be very happy in what he's doing.
Yep.
And it's just selfishness on our part that we want to hear him back on Coast, right?
Well, no, you know what? You're entitled to that. I mean, it's voices become familiar, you know. And,
exactly. Hey, anyway, George, the reason why I called was to answer your question.
About time and speed?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Help us.
So this is how it was explained to me. And it's a little harder to explain, but once you get the concept, it makes some sense. If you think about the first year that you were born, from that your birthday until your first birthday, your whole life took a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but when you get to be 2 years old, that it's to get to that birthday is only half of your lifetime, because it's 2 years and you're only going 1 year between birthdays.
Right.
So by the time you get to be 50 years old, to get a year of your actual birth time on Earth is 1/50th of the amount of time that you've been alive.
But why does it seem to go by so fast?
Well, because in, as I said at the beginning, your first year of life took a year, your whole life to get that first birthday. But when you're turning age 50, it's only taken 1/50th of your whole lifetime to get to that next birthday.
Yeah, but it's still the same time.
It is, but it's only in our minds that we track that, right?
Well, yeah, and see, that's my question. Why in our minds does it appear that time goes by so fast? I mean, this year, for example, my perception, I mean, from January 1st to where we are right now was the same time length as it was last year, the year before, and so on and so forth. But it
You're
seemed,
absolutely right.
But it seems but, faster to me right now.
Well, I can tell you, George, that July the 10th coming up will be my second year since I retired.
Okay.
And that 2 years has gone by like 6 months when I was working. Like, it's just amazing.
Flying. I think it's because we're getting older. I would love somebody who's 22 years old to call the show tonight and tell me if the years are going by faster for them or if it's slow or seems to be slow. Because I am convinced that when you get to your 50s plus, these years in days and months go really fast.
Well, George, I got one other idea for you, and I certainly can't claim to be an expert, but I'm wondering if because technology is moving so fast and, you know, the world pace is all moving so fast compared to what it was when you and I were younger.
Good point.
But that may be why it looks, the appearance to us seems to be faster because so much is changing, whereas some 12-year-old kid, that's their norm. Right?
Yep. Good point. Absolutely good point. Technology speeds things up. Everything seems to be speeding up. And, man, we got to slow it down just a little bit. Annie's in Alabama. Welcome to the program. Hello, Annie.
Thank you, George. I have a solution. The way to change this unconstitutional law in Florida and other states in favor of people's Second Amendment rights to defend themselves would be for the loved ones and victims of the Orlando shooting to overwhelm and bankrupt the system with a gigantic billion-dollar class action lawsuit against the state of Florida for wrongful death and lack of security for these injuries and deaths, because the state of Florida is liable having violated their Second Amendment rights to defend themselves with guns.
Well, wait, hold on for a second. Number one, it was a private club. So I think they're responsible. They're liable. Yeah, and doesn't Florida doesn't have isn't Florida Annie, isn't Florida a right to carry state?
Well, they have a law saying that you can't use have a gun in a drinking establishment.
Well, most places do. It's not just Florida.
Well, this should be so gigantic that it should overwhelm the system so that the pocketbook would force the repeal of every law.
It is unfortunate that somebody there did not have a gun where they could have snuck up on this lunatic and blasted him away.
They need to completely destroy the state of Florida with this suit.
Well, but it's all over the country. Every city or every state that has concealed carry does not permit, I'm pretty sure, does not permit people to carry into a bar.
You hit the pocketbook hard enough, it'll force them to repeal it.
And the reason, well, what's the reason in your opinion they don't want you to carry guns in a bar?
Stupidity.
No, you know the reason. What's the reason they think?
I don't know. I don't understand what
they think. That somebody's going to get drunk, pull out their gun, and start shooting everybody up.
I don't believe that.
I think that people should have the right to carry wherever they want to go, whether it's in a church or anything. Because I have found that most people who have bona fide concealed carry permits are law-abiding people and minimal shooting episodes with those kinds of folks, except for protecting themselves and others when they come across some heinous situation like that. That's what it's all about. That's what concealed carry is for, to be able to protect yourself from somebody who may want to rob you or kill you, or you're in an episode like that. If I were in a bank, for example, and you're not, I guess you're not supposed to carry in a bank either in most cases, but you should be able to. If I'm in a bank and somebody's robbing it, I'll play the game. I'll lay low, just like they said, lay down. But if I had an opportunity, I'd blast away if you had to. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with more open lines next hour.